So it looks like we got a beautiful day out there, and it's good to see y'all in Sunday school this morning. We're glad to have David and Joyce Lawson with us. They are visiting Ms. Lawson here, so it's good to have y'all with us this morning. And it's good to see all the rest of you too. I would ask if there's any visitors, but I don't see any visitors this morning. So everybody looks like our regular group. So good to have you. Welcome to the Gideon class. And we'll just touch a couple of things in the bulletin this morning, not a lot. Our Appalachian Fair booths are coming up pretty quick here on August the 19th through the 24th. So if you're signed up to work in the booths there at the fair, please watch the bulletin for, I think we'll have one more meeting before that happens. So pay attention to that. Also, I believe it's Thursday. We've got a ball game with the Oasis going to the Smokies, and they are going to see that on what day? Tuesday. No. You eat on Tuesday, but I think you're going to the ball game another day here. Please read your bulletin, okay? And don't let that get by you, because if you're planning on going on that trip, it will be coming up here in the next few days. So I'm looking, but I don't see it. I thought I had it there, but I don't see it right now. Anyway, that's the two ones that I wanted to mention. We'll go on and talk about the prayer request sheet. And on the prayer request sheet, I think there was some questions about Shirley's sister-in-law who had on there as cancer. And Faye has been declared cancer-free. And so we praise the Lord for that. She had a bone marrow transplant that was successful. And so she is saved. She's ready to go to heaven. So if the Lord decides to take her, why, she's ready to go. Also, there's one of our shut-ins that had a fall yesterday morning, Mr. Wayne Hauser. He fell in his house yesterday morning, and they took him to John City Medical Center. He did not break the hip, but he broke the bone, the femur that the hip is attached to. So they are doing a replacement on him this morning for his hip and putting it into that femur. It was right at the top of that bone. So y'all pray for Wayne. He's 87, and he's still getting around good, and he's just a fine, fine fella. He gets to go down to the Chug and Chew most days and eat with Melina and them ladies down there. So y'all pray for him that this won't set him back too far. Also, talk to Phil, and Debbie's going to start some chemo tomorrow, so keep her in your prayers, and we'll pray that chemo goes well for her. She's had a bad week last week, so the rest of these, especially our cancer patients, we pray for them. We still have this man listed, Leo Dennison, for salvation. I do not know Leo. Okay. Leslie Farmer starts her chemo again tomorrow. Okay. So she'll be back on that regimen for a while until they get rid of it. Yes, a little bit. Yeah. So Yes, ma'am, Nancy. Okay. Well, we praise the Lord for answer of prayer. That's the one, the little four-year-old. Nancy, tell me the name again. Angel Gabler. Angel.
Hazel Gabler.
Hazel. You can tell I can't see and I can't hear either. Thank all of you. So we're praying for Hazel, but the Lord has answered some prayer, and she's doing better. She's got walking straight now. Her foot's not turned in, and so we thank the Lord for that. That's another answer to prayer. Okay, anyone else? Okay, Brother David Harrison, they are asking for prayer. He had a really bad night last night, and of course y'all know that he has cancer, and he's taking chemo treatments and stuff like that. He has good days, bad days, so let's remember him in prayer. And Pat didn't have a good night last night, and so we're praying for Pat still, Joe's wife. And let's see, Philip is going to have hand surgery Wednesday, correct?
Yes, sir.
That's not carpal tunnel. It is a different surgery. Okay. All right. Let's remember Philip on Wednesday this week on the 7th. Okay. We're still praying for all these people that are on here. I won't take time to read them off, but you have the copy there. You can look through it and pray that you'll remember these folks in your prayers this week. And so if nothing else, we'll go ahead and pray. And so we thank the Lord, for the requests that we've had that have been answered. So let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you, God, for your love. We thank you, Lord, that you came to this earth. Lord, you went to an old rugged cross and shed your precious blood for our sins. God, we thank you, Lord, that 3 days later you arose and now you're on the right hand of the Father and you're making intercession, Lord, for even the prayer that we're praying this morning. And God, I would just ask you today to remember these. Lord, first of all, we want to give you praise for the answered prayer. And then, Lord, we are bringing these to you, Lord, that have problems today that are still facing them. And Lord, we do pray for Wayne over there in surgery right now. God, we pray, Lord, that you will be with the surgeons, the nurses, and all those that work with him, help him. Lord God, we are also praying, Lord, that you'll bless these other requests this morning, especially these cancer patients. Lord, Leslie's going to start her chemo, and Debbie's going to start her chemo tomorrow, Lord. And God, we pray that your grace, Lord, will be with them while they're going through this, Lord. They need your strength. They need your help. And Father, we thank you today. Thank you for the early service that's already been had. God, we also pray for the 11 o'clock service, Lord, that you'll be with our pastor as he stands and brings the Word of God to us, Lord. Again, pray you'll be with Brother Philip as he teaches today, and then, Lord, with him as he's having this hand surgery on Wednesday. Thank you for your love and your care, your blessings to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yeah. You had two things you wanted to pull out of, did you, out of the bulletin, did you say them? About the Oasis and...
No. I couldn't find
okay.
the ball game.
Okay, cool.
I couldn't find the ball game.
Okay, brother.
So I could have been looking on the old bulletin.
All right. Okay. Well, good morning. It's good to see you all. And you know, as you get into different stages of life, your routine and how you communicate with your spouse differs. And the first thing we say to each other anymore is, "How'd you sleep last night?" And boy, sleep is such a precious thing, isn't it? You want a good night's sleep, because if you're up at 2 a.m, 3 a.m, that makes for a very, very, very long day, amen? And you just want to get rest. And these people that are sick and infirm, they need rest, amen? They just need to go unconscious for a while and let their bodies, and just be able to get away from the pain and the difficulty. It's very important. And you know, the Bible says, he giveth his beloved sleep. So all these people I pray for, as far as Pat and others with cancer, I just pray that the Lord will give them his beloved rest, that they will be able to rest during all of the difficulties that they're going through. Last week, we talked about what I think was a very wonderful thing. We saw first in John 3:16, the Father's love, and then the Father's gift to us, and then the Father's will, which was whosoever believeth in him. That's the Father's will, amen? And we saw that way back in eternity past, that there was this great compact between the Father and the Son. And when that will was expressed by the Father, the Son instantly, "I come to do thy will. I delight in eternity. I delight to do thy will." And boy, that's really something, isn't it? When he knew what that was going to require of him, that he would delight to do his will. And so that was, to me, a very great blessing to be able to talk about our Savior and his willingness to come and do his Father's will. And then in the garden there, he gets the victory, praying, and the Father looking down, and it says, when he saw the travail of his soul, he was pleased. And so he learned obedience by the things that he suffered, and he got the victory there. And somewhere in there, I think we have that other verse where it says, "And for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now set down on the right hand of glory." In that garden, we didn't see that joy, amen, that was set before him. At that point, he was praying hard because of what he was getting ready to face, but in the surrender to the will of God, "Not my will, but thine be done," for the joy that was set before him, the wonderful victory there for him, for us, for everybody. There's no hope for anybody except in our Savior's willingness to die, to do his Father's will. Now, I taught all that because what I'm really wanting to talk about was not that, but to get to that, I really felt like we needed to have the best example of willingness, amen? Because there's a problem with the will. And if you've read any commentaries on Genesis, when it says that in the image of God made he him, male and female made he them. And this whole debate on the image of God in man, and it's certainly not this. And there's an agreement with the authors that I've read and with me that part of that, and an essential part of that, is what God gave to man that is peculiar to God. And we know that he made man intelligent, and but even the lower orders of creation have some intelligence, and sometimes it's remarkable the amount of intelligence that animals have sometimes.
and their ability to make tools and all these things. But they lack one thing that bears the image of God, and one thing that's very peculiar to God, and that is man's will. God gave to man a will. He was able to choose. Now, that's very important because there has been a debate ever since the apostles fell asleep. I was reading recently, and I'm not a Calvinist, but I've read Calvin and his institutes, and he quotes a man 1,400 years before him, a man named St. Augustine, who wrote his works in the first century AD. And so Calvin is making, isn't this amazing? Was making reference to somebody who coined a phrase from the first century AD, 1,400 years. I think Calvin was in the 1500s. And they were talking about something that had become pretty much a philosophical debate, and that was this term, the free will of man. You'll never see that term in the Bible, by the way. And it's important that we understand what they mean and what the will of man was and his responsibility with this will. And so, let me get to my notes here, because this is very important. Now, do you believe that man has a free will? And if so, what do you believe about that? What do you think that means? If you would, turn with me to Genesis chapter 2, because what we're going to see is the original creation before sin ever came into the world to trouble all of this thing called the will. And so if we see what God intended for the will of man in the beginning, we have an understanding of what God wants in all of us. And we'll look at the problems with this and what God's got to do to work in us, because he wants us to do his will. Amen? So if you would, with me, in Genesis chapter 2, in verse 15. And he's made the man already. And it says in verse 15, it says, "And the Lord took the man," excuse me, "and put him into the garden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commandeth the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. please forgive me. I will make him an helpmeet for him." Now, if you go on to Genesis chapter 2 and verse 21, it says, "And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made a woman and brought her unto the man." So now we have this man, and this man has been given a will. And what we see from this is that he had no choice about the... Wait a minute now. Let me say that differently. We're going to see that what God wanted was for him to do his will. Now, he put him in the Garden of Eden, right? So man had no choice as to where he was going to live. God put him there. He didn't have a choice as to what he was going to do, did he? He said, to tend it and to keep it. This is what you're going to do. This is where you're going to live. And he had no choice about a wife, did he? Or the process of how he's going to get the wife. He was going to, lay him down on the ground and put him to sleep and take a rib from him. He had no choice in any of that. And by the way, he was told what he could and couldn't eat, correct? He said, you could eat all of this, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you can't have that. You can't eat it. And so, and by the way, the woman, you're right, he takes this rib, and from that rib, he makes this woman. And what does he do? It said there, and he made a woman and brought her to the man. Did she have any choice in this? I mean, she was made for him, for a purpose, right? And he brought her to the man. Now, if man had had free will, God would have had to say, where would you like to live? I've made a garden over here. Would you like to live there? Correct? If he had free will, freedom to do whatever he wanted to do, God would have said, what would you like to eat? Right? How would you like for me to make this woman? I mean, here she comes. You know, I really wanted a blonde. And no. He didn't have any choice in that, right? If he had had free will, he could have had a choice. I prefer somebody looks kind of like her. And you know how it is. And if he had had a free will, he would have said, you know, I really like the mountains and I really don't want to live in a garden. I'd rather just look around for a little bit and see what suits me. Now that's free will, correct? What God, and what we're seeing in this, is what God intended for the will of man is that it would always be in submission to his will. And as long as Adam and Eve did and submitted to the will of God, it was paradise. It was perfect. Correct? Right. As long as they were, God says, I want you to live here. Fine. Isn't that wonderful? Boy, this is the way it ought to be. I want you to have this woman. Oh, thank you. That's exactly what I want. Matter of fact, in Psalms, David says, the Lord said unto me, seek ye my face. And he said, thy face will I seek. That is what God wants. God wants us to yield willingly to his will. Now, if you would, turn to John chapter 8. So this is the original creation. This is the will of man. A will given to him that God wants him to willingly give back to him. And as long as we do that, boy, there's blessings, amen? It's paradise, and that's the way it's going to be. Well, that's the way, by the way, it is in heaven, correct? The Lord's Prayer. Thy will be done. We're to pray that. Thy will be done. On earth, right here. God, help me to do your will as it is in heaven. Excuse me. Look with me in John chapter 8. Because it's important that we see what God's intent was to see what has happened to the will of his creation, if I said that correctly. Notice with me in John chapter 8 and verse 44. And he's talking to the Pharisees and he says, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, excuse me, and abode, here we go, not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. Now, that's not how he was made. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. He, from the womb of his heart, his soul, he birthed into existence a lie. And he accepted the lie. It was his lie. He invented it and he embraced it. And ever since then, he's acted upon it. And by the way, we're going to see that that was the temptation in the garden. Now, if you would, what is this lie? If you would, turn to Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah 14 and verse 12. And he says, it says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations?" How did all this happen, is what he's saying. How did this come about? "For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." Did you see the five I wills there? This is how he has fallen. This is happening in his heart. "Thou hast said in your heart," in his heart. And now let's look at this just real briefly. Was he saying, "I will be like the Lord God and be all powerful"? Well, you know he can't be that. Was he saying, "I will be omniscient," because that's like God, right? Well, we know he can't be that. He knows he can't be that. "I will be like him and to be omnipresent," all these attributes of God. Was that what he was wanting to be? No. He wanted to be above the throne of God. He wanted to be able to be what? Self-determining. The lie he embraced was that he could do his will free from God. Correct? He could act independently. It will be my throne. Only one person can sit on the throne. Amen? And he was going to sit on the throne and he was going to rule. In other words, the world, the creation above the angels of God would do his will. This is the lie that he birthed out of his heart. I will be God. I will make the decisions. I will be self-determining. In other words, he wanted to have what? A free will. He did not want to submit to the will of God. Now, if you would, turn back to Genesis and verse chapter 3. Oh, excuse me. Let me get there real quick. Now, let's start in chapter 3 and verse 1, please. "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said that ye shall eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die." Now, some people think that, you know, she's adding to the word of God. I tend to think that Adam and Eve probably talked about that tree. And every one of us, do we not, when we know the will of God, what do? We make holy vows. We say, you know what? This tree, God does not want us to eat of. And they probably said, you know what? It'd probably be best if we just didn't even get close. Just to protect ourselves. We do that, don't we? If we see that there's sin, we say, you know what? Alcohol, I don't want to be involved with it. It's not right. So what do we say? I'm not going to go to the bar. Now, going to the bar is not sinful, is it? Except maybe that it's a bad testimony. But it's not sinful to go there. But what are we doing? We're making secondary commandments for ourselves to protect us from what God has commanded. Correct? I think that's what was happening here. I think those two were talking about it. Every husband and wife, when God's dealing with their heart, they talk about these things. What should we do? We shouldn't watch certain things on TV. Sweetheart, what should we do? And we talk about it, and we make decisions based upon things that are involving our life so that we can do the will of God and be safe. For me, I think that's what's happening here. They've not added to the word of God. What is being expressed is, we just need to stay away from it. If we don't touch it, we'll never get in trouble, right? So, neither shall we touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Did you see that in there, by the way? What did the devil tell her? Exactly the lie he believed. Ye shall be as gods, able to make your own decisions. Free to do whatever you want to do. Let your free will go. The lie he embraced that he could be self-determining was what he told them that they could be. You'll be gods, knowing good and evil. You can make the decisions you want to make. Now, we know that Eve did what? Used her under the influence of this. She used her intellect. Let's look at it again there. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that is, it, we're going to see her eyes here in a minute, that it was pleasant to the eyes and desirable. So she's using the abilities that God's given her, right? Correct? She's using her mind to do what? Make decisions to do something on her own. She's going to be self-determining. And what's going to be the result of it? Sin, death, and paradise is lost. And so she saw that the it was good for food. And by the way, it was probably very, very good. We have to understand this. God did not tell them not to eat that fruit because it was poisonous, correct? It wasn't, but it was good fruit. She saw that. As a matter of fact, she used her mind to say, you know, that looks like good fruit to me. And it sure looks pleasant. Don't you like some fruits and the look of them? You know, I want to eat that. And so that's all she was doing. And it's desirable to make one wise. And so she used all of her faculties to make a decision contrary to what? The expressed will of God. And from that point on, it's nothing but problems. And certainly we could say of this situation, what she's doing, Proverbs 14 and verse 12, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Amen. It all seemed right. It all seemed good. It was pleasant. It was good food. It will be desirable to make one wise, which, by the way, was a lie. And so she took and made a decision. She expressed her free will. Correct? It was the lie of the devil, and the devil had corrupted her thinking. And, well, I'll get to that in a minute. I don't want to get ahead of myself. So, and we're talking about the will, that image in man that is like God, the ability to choose, to have a will. We've seen that what God wants is that will to be surrendered to him. What we've seen in the devil is his will is to be self-determining, to be a God, to do his will, and what he has influenced the woman and the man to do is to act and express themselves and their free will. You'll be as gods. You can do what you want. Now, it's important for us to realize that there is only one being in all of, not just creation, I'm going to say this wrong, being with a big B that is self-determining. God is the only self-determining, I'm going to say creature, not creature, being. It is his will that he wants exclusively. Correct? In Psalm 103, it says, "The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers that do his pleasure." Psalm 115, "But our God is in the heavens, he hath done whatsoever he hath pleased." Isaiah 46, "Remember the former things of old, for I am God, there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, omniscient, and from ancient times, eternal, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure." God has put us here. He has given us a will so that we can glorify him by willingly giving it back to him. The devil and his lie is that we don't have to do that. That we're more than capable of making up our own mind. And this was the corruption of her mind. If you remember in 2 Corinthians 11 verse 3, it says, "But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds will be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." Now, have you ever thought about that phrase? From the simplicity that is in Christ. Folks, when it boils right down to it, it's very simple what God requires of us, correct? Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus. All that God wants from us is a surrendered will, that we be willing to do his will. And that is how her mind was corrupted. And from then on, it was nothing but horrible error and complexity. And we have what we see in Proverbs 9, there are many devices in man's heart. But the counsel of the Lord, it will stand. God wants each and every one of us to do the will of God. Now, I won't be here next week. I might be in the pew. Brother Jeff Wills is going to teach next week because I don't know if I'll be my best. I might be here, but you know, with surgery, who knows? And so when we come back, what I'd like to do is continue this thought. And we won't be back the week after that because that'll be our anniversary. So 2 weeks from 3 weeks from today, what I'd like to do is continue on with this thought in what God is wanting to do with each one of us. We've seen he's given us a will to be surrendered. We've seen that the devil has corrupted our will, and we're going to see that now we are captives. Our will is held captive by, at least it was until we got saved, by the devil. Those people out there that don't know our Savior, they're very much the captive of the devil and their will. And one of the mighty works of God is to work in these lost people that they would surrender their will to the will of God, which is what? To come to our Savior. And so we'll talk about those things when I return and when we return. Father, thank you for these good people. I pray that you'll give me grace to faithfully, clearly give the correct sense of this beautiful book, that we can learn what you would have for us in our life. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, folks.